Smart Talk is produced by WITF as part of our mission to deliver relevant, high-quality programming. Support comes from Capital Blue Cross, which shares WITF's commitment to being a trusted resource in our communities. Smart Talk is also supported by UPMC, offering surgical care for the brain, spine, and peripheral nerves. More information can be found at upmc.com/centralpaneuro.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF. I'm Scott Lamar. About 560,000 people work in manufacturing jobs in Pennsylvania. Even though that's 400,000 fewer than 30 years ago, there are thousands of manufacturing job openings right now. Many people who could fill those jobs don't know about the openings or don't have the necessary training. Pennsylvania is actively campaigning to find training for would-be manufacturers, including providing funding to 6 manufacturing summer camps through Nuts, Bolts, and Thingamajigs, a charitable foundation of the Fabricators and Manufacturers Association International. Our guest today is Ed Udell, who is president and CEO of Nuts, Bolts, and Thingamajigs and the Fabricators and Manufacturers Association International. Mr. Udell, welcome to the program. First of all, the name. Just love the name. How did you come up with Nuts, Bolts, and Thingamajigs?
So originally, we were partnered with a gentleman you might know by the name of John Ratzenberger, famous for his role in Cheers. And he comes from a humble background in Connecticut, where his family members were all involved in manufacturing. And John's very passionate about the ability for people to work with their hands, because it takes really great skill, knowledge, and commitment to be able to do those kinds of things. And we partnered with him because we're really good at running foundations, and John was really good at having the passion to help make manufacturing more well-known. And that's where we are today, is how we have the name Nuts, Bolts, and Thingamajigs.
I have to say, in the 14-year history of the show, the word thingamajig has never come up before, so congratulations on that. What happens at a manufacturing summer camp?
So really, this is, in many cases, it's the first time that a child between the ages of 12 and 16 will be introduced to the idea of making something. What goes into making and building and manufacturing products, and kids are given that opportunity to see the technology that's involved and how to make things, the skill, the thinking, the critical thinking that goes into manufacturing products. So they'll do that over the course of a week, where they'll have a project. They'll go through different stages to build those things. They'll also tour local manufacturing facilities in their communities so that they can get an idea of all those jobs that are available that go into manufacturing. And the jobs, many people think of just the manufacturing on the shop floor type of positions, but we need accountants, we need business majors, we need marketing people. All of those skills are needed in manufacturing to make operations successful. And the kids are going to get exposure to all of those things through those tours, as well as the project building.
When you say that they are exposed to some hands-on training, for example, what kind of equipment is available? What kind of technology is available for them to get that kind of training?
So in the technical school, so you have 6 camps, as you said. I'll just pick one out, the Pennsylvania College of Technology, which I've actually been out and toured. They have the latest and greatest in advanced manufacturing technology in their facility. So you will find machining equipment, CNC equipment, metal fabrication equipment. And by that, I mean technology machining centers. The kids will do some light programming. They may work with digital printing technology. They may work with maybe some, do some programming on robotics, cobots. Those are just, the few things that are going to be available to the students, to really test their and try their hand at.
I've read news releases, and I went to your website and looked this over, and it's described, these camps are described as fun. In what way?
The best way to get somebody excited about something is to make it enjoyable. So, for 20 hours to 30 hours a week, the kids are with other like-minded kids who are really experimenting with the idea of making and manufacturing. They're going to have a project at the end of the camp. They're going to have something that they'll take home that they'll be able to reflect back on and say, I did that. I made that. That's a very rewarding endeavor. Some of our camps over the years, the kids have made electric guitars and taken their own electric guitar home at the end of the camp. We've had, you know, they make clocks. They make just many different kinds of projects. Some where they've built and raced using power equipment, race cars. So, you know, and not just building the car, then they're building the frame that goes with it. They're doing the welding. Then they're doing the painting. So really getting involved in experimenting with what is this thing called manufacturing and what is advanced manufacturing and what is manufacturing today.
So are the camps specific to certain kinds of manufacturers?
No, it's general manufacturing. So there's some camps may focus on machining more than others because they have a great deal of CNC equipment within their facility. And, you know, equipment dependent also drives what they do. But it's more of a general approach to manufacturing. So they could be building and making anything.
Okay, so there's a lot going on in a week there. As I mentioned, the state of Pennsylvania is providing some funding for the camps. Is there a cost to those who would want to become, who would want to go to one of the camps?
Right. So generally, we ask that the camps charge a minimum of about $49 to $50 a kid. So that's for a week. So it's very affordable. It costs generally, we estimate around $10,000 to $12,000 to run a camp for a week for about 25 kids. You know, we're providing with the help of the state, and we're so pleased to be partnered with Governor Wolf and his team. We're providing stipends to those schools, really as seed money. So over the course of 3 years, we'll provide a grant of $5,000. And then that gets them started. They'll get them up and running. Then they can reach into their community for the additional support that they need, or they're self-funding the rest. Cost-wise, that's how it goes. We find that just asking that nominal amount of commitment from the student keeps them invested in going, and it becomes much harder for someone to walk away from the opportunity if they are invested.
And by the way, we have a link to Nuts, Bolts, and Thingamajigs website on our website, WITF.org. Let's talk about manufacturing overall, Mr. Udell. Almost 20,000 manufacturing job openings in Pennsylvania. Why aren't they being filled?
So, number one, manufacturers need to do a better job of marketing themselves. We always can do a better job of really speaking out and utilizing all of the channels that our desired employees use and that we want to attract people to. So, number one, it's incumbent on ourselves to be proactive in reaching out for these and going beyond the traditional methods of trying to find folks. Instagram now, LinkedIn, Facebook, Snapchat, these are all channels of communication that are much more widely used. And those become the channels that we have to make our opportunities known through in order to attract the best and the brightest. That's the second thing we need to do, is that manufacturing are good careers. So good opportunities. So basic things about them that we want to communicate. 92% of the manufacturing jobs available also have healthcare benefits attached to them. According to the National Association of Manufacturers, the average wage and pay, including benefits, is about $92,000. These are great family-supporting opportunities that we have to be proud of and make folks aware of, because we are competing, with much more sexier industries. But I'm here to tell you that one of the perceptions that we always fight is that manufacturing is dark, dirty, and dangerous, the three Ds. And certainly, you know, if you go back and think about all the movies that maybe we've seen where manufacturers haven't been portrayed in the best light in Hollywood, that doesn't help us. But today's advanced manufacturing environment is high tech, it's challenging, it's innovative. No 2 days are ever the same. And we have great opportunities for people, and we need folks because we need, you know, nothing contributes to an economy, a community like manufacturing. So for every dollar invested in manufacturing, on average, $2.68 is returned back into the community. And that's how you support your restaurants, your dry cleaners, the coffee shops, and manufacturing can do those things, has done those things, and will continue to do those things for communities.
As I mentioned in the introduction, there are 400,000 fewer manufacturing jobs in Pennsylvania than in 1990. And, you know, when you use the word perception, I think that, you know, that is has a lot to do with this. They hear stories all the time, they, meaning would-be workers, hear stories all the time about a factory closing or going overseas. They may wonder, is there a future in this, or is there something that, you know, that it's not stable? What do you say to those kind of people?
I would say manufacturing continues to be stable. And if we look at, while there's less people involved in manufacturing, as you can see, there's a huge need for people in manufacturing. It's now a constraint to growth because we can't attract people fast enough. But certainly, many industries go up and down with the natural ebbs and flows of economics. But manufacturing is here to stay. And manufacturing's never been more important from a national security purpose, because our ability as a country to make things really allows us to be sustainable on a world stage. National security issues, the ability to make and produce critical infrastructure pieces, critical technology for our healthcare system, medicines. As those things have gone overseas, the pandemic certainly brought to light the importance of being able to make things. And we are anecdotally seeing a transition back to the US of localizing our supply chains, because it's very difficult to move things from China or India in large ships, containers. The cost of containers has probably tripled since the pandemic has held. So it becomes much more expensive and unreliable, as we can see by all the issues and challenges we have with ports and getting the goods off of the ships and unloaded and then transported to where it needs to be. So I would say manufacturing's future is very bright.
You said anecdotally we are hearing that this is something that over the past 2 years we've heard more people say we have to start making things here in the United States again. Maybe you could tell us about a few of those anecdotes that you're referring to.
So, you know, companies like John Deere, Caterpillar, they manufacture high value, highly engineered products and systems. And there's tremendous value and money at stake for their ability to produce. And when they cannot get just, you know, a 75 cent part that's held up on a ship, they can't finalize. You know, you see it with the chips all the time. You know, that cost of that chip in comparison to the total cost of an automobile is not, to rely on something that small and that inexpensive to hold up the production of the final and delivery of the automobile is really frustrating for the auto manufacturer. That's why we see in Ohio, they're going to be a big chip plant that's going to be built. So anecdotally, that's one example of, we've looked at the supply chain, we realize that there are things that need to change to create liability and sustainability, and they're investing in a major chip plant in Ohio now.
Just a couple minutes left, Ed, and I wanted to mention also about training, because even before the pandemic, I heard this, I've heard this from many business owners over the years, is that one of the big problems they had, now this is before the pandemic, obviously the pandemic has added a few more challenges, but one of the big challenges they faced was that they couldn't find skilled workers. They needed people who had some training, who had the skills to work in a manufacturing plant. How do people get those skills? How do they get those training? And especially get that training, I should say, and especially against a background where over the past generation or so, most students in high schools are encouraged to go, the path to success is a four-year college degree.
Thank you for raising that issue, Scott. Not every person needs to go to a four-year university, but people need to be educated. And in the state of Pennsylvania, you have a great community college and technical school system that locally, those are great opportunities and great options that people need to consider. Certainly we need guidance counselors and we need parents to take a more active role in considering those options, because today's four-year university, the cost is out of reach for most people without them taking on large amounts of debt. But when you look at other alternatives, the cost of the education is much more affordable. And the value to manufacturers, especially with two-year schools and community colleges, it gets the people into the workforce faster. And that's really the key for us to continue our productivity. So, as an example, and I'm a huge fan of the Pennsylvania College of Technology. We've awarded over the last 3 years, 35 scholarships to their student body who've applied for our Nuts, Bolts, and Thingamajig scholarships. Their students are well prepared when they come out of that school to be highly productive and contribute immediately to the success of manufacturers. So you've got a great example right there in your own state. That's really the best place to go, is these community colleges and technical schools, for people to have and learn the skills they need, such as CNC programming, mechanical engineering technology programs, metal fabrication programs, machining programs. They are there and available. Welding, we constantly are in demand for welders. These are highly valued skills and jobs that right there in your own state are needed. And we just need to make sure people understand those opportunities are available, not just to young people, but to anybody who wants to make that career transition available. Manufacturers need committed people. They will take attitude over aptitude and train people themselves if needed. But it's always better to prepare yourself as you make that move towards a career in manufacturing.
Ed Udell is president and CEO of Nuts, Bolts, and Thingamajigs and the Fabricators and Manufacturers Association International. Mr. Udell, thank you very much for being with us today.
You're welcome. I appreciate you having me and talking about manufacturing.
You're listening to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar.